Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men podcast. It is back. I am here. I am Paul Machen. I am joined by Chris Pajak. Doesn't wait for podcast, Chris. You've got to say something. Lovely thumbs, though. I'm joined by Tom Dutton.
Hello, everyone.
And I'm joined by Ross Chandley as well. Brilliant. Oh, my God. It's like, yeah. Hi, guys. So we've got a bunch of topics and stuff we're going to get through, but we've got a warm-up question which comes from Kieran McCormick to kick us off. He says, the villain of the last movie you watched is plotting to kill you. The only person who can save you is the hero from the last video game you played. Kratos, Tom?
I think it's Kratos. I don't even know. I've not played that one.
God, might stand a small chance against Sauron. Sauron, Chris?
Yeah, Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, cool. For me. So, Chris Pajak, who was the villain of the last movie you watched and who was the hero from the last video game that's going to save you?
So, oh dear. I think his name is Colonel Miles Quaritch.
Okay.
From Avatar.
Right.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Elsa, and Elsa is going to save me.
Yes.
I think Elsa wins that.
Whoa, hang on a second. What, you were playing a Frozen video game?
We were playing Just Dance, and the last song that we did was Let It Go.
That's incredible. Okay, fantastic. So the general from Avatar.
I think the Colonel might win.
You reckon?
I think so, yeah. I just can't. I can't imagine that Elsa can do this. You know what I mean? Even with her powers, not Has a chance. Like
the, are we saying the guy's got like the mech suit?
He's got the suit. He's got everything.
Can she not freeze it though?
She could literally just freeze him to death.
No. Avatar's atmosphere is in the cold.
Let us know in the comments if you think Elsa would come out on top in that battle. Tom, what you got?
So I last watched Max Payne in the film, and I'm playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey now. So it's a juiced up guy with Valkyries flying around him as the baddie, and it's Cassandra, because I'm playing as the woman, with the bloodline of Leonidas. It's an even matchup, but honestly, I think the Max Payne guy wins because he's got literal Valkyries on his side, and he's got loads of drugs in him as well.
What are Valkyries?
They're like a mythical Norse creature. They're like dragons that fly around and stuff. I think
is this a computer game thing, or are they like...
No, this is Norse mythology. According to the Max Payne film, I don't know this, but...
Why is the Norse mythology in the Max Payne film? Isn't it just
it's
like
a weird film?
It's
not in the game, is it?
Well, it's based on the game, but it's got nothing to do with the game. It's like, his wife's dead. His wife's dead, that's the only thing that's same.
And I bet there's a bullet time moment where it spins all around them.
100%.
Yeah, 100%. Okay,
Sam. Ross. Isn't that why they made the game? They had the technology to do that. Yeah. And Joe created the game around it. It's pretty much like The Matrix and Bullet Time. They got Bullet Time and then went, shit, we need to do something with it.
Yeah, let's do it.
That is exactly how The Matrix.
These Valkyries look pretty cool, to be honest. Although the images that I've got, they are female figures.
Oh, fair enough. I mean, they're still
in mythology, they are female figures who choose that they may die in battle.
Yeah, they basically get people. They're like afterlife creatures in the Max Payne film. It's a really good film, but I'd suggest not
taking Norse mythology from Max Payne, though, if you are planning to study that anytime soon, because they've got that wrong.
Yeah, if anyone's got, if anyone finally got let back into some sort of university exam or GCSE or whatever, please, please, please do not treat that as accurate Norse mythology. It's Mark Wahlberg's fault and Tom, via Tom, if it isn't the case.
Although Tom did say that he didn't know whether it was true, so he put the addendum on the end, which is absolutely fine.
Yeah. It's a good film. Everyone should go watch it. I mean, it's a terrible film, but I like it.
Is there any chance Mark Wahlberg going, "Hi, hey, I'm Max Payne"?
Pretty much. It's better than The Happening.
My wife died. Is that bad?
Is it better than The Happening? Is that the one with the glass trying to take over the world, Tom?
Exactly.
God damn it, that's the worst film I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, but it's got a twist, hasn't it? So there you go.
That film is like those
jokes. The twist was the grass was taking over the world. It's already taking over the fucking world. It's everywhere. There's more grass than anything else. You don't need to take over the world anymore.
I agree. But the acting in there is sublime.
This 4G rebellion, we are coming for you.
That film is like, it's being told a really, really long and elaborate joke only to find out the punchline isn't funny.
Is people getting ran over by fucking lawnmowers.
Well, it's a good, it's an entertaining film until the fact that you find out that there's nothing clever about it, just that the whispering wind of the trees is trying to kill you. Anyway, Ross, who was the last movie villain you watched, and what is the video game hero saving you?
So, like many others, I got Disney Plus, so I'm working my way through Star Wars. So, for me sins, Attack of the Clones was the last one I watched because I know. So, it's Count Dooku in it.
Count Dooku, yes.
Count Dooku, and the last video game I played was Pez. Mbappe scored a hat trick, so he's the hero in that game. So, it's Count Dooku or Mbappe. So.
Absolutely.
Mbappe's only chance there is to run away.
But he could be a Ninja Turtle as well, because he looks exactly like one, doesn't he? So
we've got to give that one to Count Dooku.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Despite dying in that film. But yeah.
Mine is frighteningly similar. The last film that I watched was the live-action Lion King, so Scar is the bad guy. And the last game I played was Pro Evo last night, but on my Master League, so I haven't even got any good players. I've got some mad no-mark fella called, I think it's pronounced Aristiguata, who is my absolute hero. He's getting me out of the second division of Pez, but he's also, I'm basically Scar is murdering me and eating the flesh from my bones. So yeah,
unlucky. I think I might have lied to you about the last computer game I've played.
Go on.
I think I played chess on my phone.
Oh,
so the queen.
And as I got beaten, I only just had the king and a couple of pawns left. I think I'm going into battle with a king and two pawns. And the king can only move one space at a time. I'm really fucked here.
Yeah, that's a world of pain. An absolute world of pain. Right, let us know, your answers to that in the comment section if you're watching on YouTube, or you can tweet us at The Red Men TV. Before we move on, please do make sure that if you listen to this on a good old-fashioned podcasting app, that you leave us a 5-star review and write a little review in there as well, because it all very much helps. Right, so moving forward, I've asked our gathered panel to each bring one football later topic of discussion to the table. Chris, what have you got?
I'm going to bring, because I want your opinions on this, Daniel Sturridge's ban. You know, it was in the news a few weeks ago. He got given, like, was it a 4-month ban or something mad like that? Yeah, 4-month ban. Obviously ends up leaving Trabzonspor during it. The FA have now said that his ban is not going to be extended with the football seasons. So his ban will end on June the 17th. So his 4-month ban in the end will be 4 games, one of which was behind closed doors. And I just want to know, A, what does everyone think? Because I think we all thought 4 months was a bit much considering what he'd done compared to likes of your Joey Bartons, your DeCanios, your Suarez's and all that type of stuff. But yet there's also a part of me that goes, the FA are a joke, and this is why the FA are a joke, because they can't even stand by their own things. Where do you stand, Ross, on that?
To be honest, I think he's probably the least of one of their problems at the moment, but I do understand where you're coming from. They've probably got a lot on the plate at the minute. But having said that,
they've got literally nothing on their plate.
they're trying to
literally could have just said, let's just pick another date.
Yeah,
I mean, it would have taken that long.
Can I just point out, Daniel Sturridge is sat at home thinking he's got away with this, and he's watching this podcast, and he's like, no! Swaying that he's fallen between the cracks amid the other bigger things.
I think they should extend it to the period that he's banned for, myself. Like, I like the guy, and he's a good footballer, and obviously, you know, ex-Liverpool player, but just like you said, stick to your own rules. There's no football. What's the point? Well, having said that, though, like, Alisson's injured. When the footy comes back, we'll have Alisson, which I know isn't the same as a ban, but it's still one of them.
Are you suggesting, Ross, that someone from the FA needs to go and boot Alisson in the leg?
No. Leave him alone, he's fine. I said it's not the same as a ban.
Why would you do that, Ross? Why would you suggest such a thing?
What's wrong with you?
It's a joke, actually. I think it's because he's a Vulcanist, and I actually think that might be it.
Jesus Christ.
On the nice lighting in his kitchen last week when he was doing ITV News, Tom.
Yeah, they didn't do it for the news. Yeah, it's a joke. And to be honest with you, Chris, I don't care about all this studded stuff. His ban was 4 months' time. It didn't say anything about games, did it? So it's meant to finish June. It finishes in June. He's got away with it. Fair play to the guy.
It's circumstantial, isn't it, though, really? It's weird because if I didn't like Daniel Sturridge, if this was a player that I really hate, if this was like the Eric Cantona ban from back in the day, I'd be like, string him up. But as it is, I'm like, oh, great. But you're right, isn't it? It's not Sturridge's fault the footy's not being played. And we were talking about on the news show earlier about, like, you know, like Harry Kane talking about, like, he wouldn't mind if the season gets cancelled, etc. And someone said, does he realise he won't get his 11 goals or whatever back? Footballers only have a limited shelf life. You're like double punishing Sturridge because there's no football. His ban could end up being twice as long because of that. And that's a period of his life, you know, as a percentage of his working life, 6 months or whatever is probably a, you know, that's a significant chunk of what he's got left, isn't it?
Would you be happy with him? Well, community service, would you be happy with him having to pick up rubbish outside the ground instead? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like bring it down a touch. He's still getting punished, but after the game, he has to go round with a little rubbish picker up there and go round and put it in.
There's not going to be no fucking rubbish. There's going to be no fans.
Oh, true, but like, you know, maybe people just go round and just litter for the benefit of Daniel Sturridge's ban. I don't know. I don't know. It's different times, Chris. The world's changing. Who knows?
It is. It's completely different to it was 7 days ago. I think for me, I think it's a joke. I think they should extend it in some way, shape, or form. I didn't agree with the ban in the first place. I do get the point. I do take the point about it being time. It wasn't a 10-game ban, for example. It was 4 months. So that, I think, might be the probably FA. Go away, second babe.
Daniel Sturridge's agents.
Go. She stood outside there, so I have to whisper. She's like, shit. She knows what she's doing. She set up camp underneath my desk before. And I pushed my keyboard table in because I've got a dead old desk with a keyboard.
Oh, that slide. Oh.
Yeah, she was underneath there, Paul, and smashed her head against the back of the desk.
Hey, she'll learn.
She's not been back under there since, though, has she?
That's called negative reinforcement.
You've got a clip off it as well.
I like the thought now that you're tentatively putting in your tray every time now.
Looking at it, I'm like, I found a Barbie on there before and some clothes, but now I am actually checking that she's not hidden under there. So, yeah, Daniel Sturridge, no one's really asked, because here's the thing, no one's really asked. If it was Lionel Messi that was banned, something would be done. The ban would be extended or something like that. Because Sturridge is at the end of his career, because no one really cares because he's not playing in a top league, it will fall down the cracks, whoever said that before.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, ultimately, the sooner it's all done, the sooner we can get to the MLS, isn't it? And everyone will be happy for Daniel Sturridge. Ross?
Because the MLS stuff, their their thing's supposed to open in July, their transfer window, that will probably get pushed back. It could be that he'll be nearly 32 when he's next playing footy. So what you're talking about, that 4 months thing, the coronavirus thing's doing worse than extending the ban. It might actually be that it ends his career for him.
Yeah, it's interesting. Very interesting. Ross?
I've gone for the Ronaldinho, which just... it's just fucking mad. I think everyone who saw the story must have done a double take. Gone Ronaldinho was in prison for, you know, money laundering and fraud, like, allegedly. Part of me thinks it's dead funny, because imagine if you're in prison with, and you, like, Ronaldinho rocked up next to you and he's your roommate. I think it'd be pretty cool. There's a video of him playing football in the yard in the prison as well, which I think is boss. But also, I think, Paul, we spoke about on the news yesterday about, you know, footballers when they retire and kind of going off the rails and how hard it is. But yeah, it's actually appropriate now, and the fact that, like, footballers are used to being so busy week in, week out doing trading, and how easy it is for them to kind of go from being dead busy to boredom within the space of a week. I mean, Jack Grealish has kind of summed all that up in the space of a couple of days, but I just think it's a mad discussion topic.
I wonder whether there's some sort of, like, you know, there's like Prison Break. I wonder whether Ronaldinho saw this all coming. Like, and just decided to just isolate, because he just couldn't trust himself not to be out trying to find birds with big bottoms and, you know, and doing kick-ups on the beach. So he's just gone, I need to just save myself. So I'm just going to end up in the ultimate lockdown.
You know, what the weirdest thing about all of this is, you don't actually need any documentation. I've looked it up on visalist.io. The Brazil visa requirements for Paraguay, you don't need a visa, and all you need is a passport and a national ID card.
Yeah, so all he needed,
but that's what I mean. Why does he not have a Brazilian passport? He's Ronaldinho. Why does he need a Paraguayan one?
Exactly. Why? And moreover, if it's a fake thing, if it's a thing about being, like, duplicitous, why has he used his own name?
Please get another mug, Tom.
It's a great mug.
Stop coming on here with your shit mugs.
It's got green tea in it, and it's full to the brim of green tea.
We're not sponsored by Spode Diet.
You know what I mean? I
have the best mug, yeah. The biggest mug. It's the size of my head. Look at it.
You're the biggest mug in here, Tom.
Yeah, none of those people are sponsoring this podcast, by the way. So, yeah, unbranded, fuck the world.
No, but it's mad. I genuinely don't understand why... he couldn't just get a Brazilian passport. He could literally get someone to do that for him, sure.
He must have one. He must be, there must be a you know, it's like he's thought it's clever.
Team, so you'd hope so.
Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago either. The bad thing is, because it was a fake Paraguayan passport, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then they asked him about it and he went, I didn't know it was fake. Well, are you Paraguayan? No, then it's fucking fake, isn't it? You know what I mean? Brazilian divvy.
It was given to him by a sponsor or something like that. I was reading up on it. It was given to him by a woman who sorted it all out for him. It's just mad. But the best thing to come out of it, Ross, I think you're right, is all the footage of him playing football in a Paraguayan prison and all, like, the offers of you can't score a goal.
There's a picture of him stood outside his cell with a towel, happy as Larry. Like, you made up to be in there. It's fucking mad.
It's just lovely. It's just living life. Yeah.
You're going to get isolated with someone, though. He'd be up there for the best person to be isolated with for 14 days, wouldn't he? Yeah, smiling, happy, gate of football, doesn't mind a little keepy-up challenge. I mean, you've got everything there, apart from the ability to leave your house.
Yeah, and if he battered you, you could get loads of people to, like, shank him if he beat you in footy or whatever as a punishment.
You could make passports if you get bored, arts and crafts sessions.
Yeah, definitely. Right, Tom, what have you got?
I was thinking about the coronavirus and the break that it's causing all the football teams, and it's the fact that we're going to need another pre-season. And we're going to need one, and all the conditioning that Klopp's put in place and a lot of other teams around the league have put in place to make sure that players can get through till the end of the season, that's all going to be scuppered completely. And I wonder what steps teams are going to have to take. Obviously, Liverpool players are doing yoga via Zoom or Skype or whatever, which is fair enough. But even just, they're all going to come back and they're all going to, it's going to be tough. A lot of players there are going to have to do fitness tests again, and it's going to be overdrive, I reckon, but it's going to be interesting to see just how it'll affect every team, really.
Yeah, anyone want to take that?
Yeah, I agree with you. In fact, I'm trying to line up a Skype with Simon Brundish on the subject, because I find it fascinating as well. And, you know, you've heard me talk over the last few years about how you set up footballers differently for a nine-month season than you do a Tour de France. Now, so the fitness people are going to have to change. Or the flip side of that is, instead of setting them up for a month, you set them up for another nine-month season, because the likelihood is the gap between seasons is going to be so short that actually Liverpool are almost, if we can get up to speed, we're prime position for winning the league next year. Mm-hmm. No break, continue the momentum from this season, pick up where you left off, steamroller teams, could play into our favour. But it is massively interesting, and they are going to need a pre-season, bare minimum 3 weeks probably.
Does that push back the start of the game? So they'll go, right, we're going to start fixtures here, and you're having these isolation camps, which is something that's getting touted about. Do the managers and the players just go, look, I understand what you're saying there, but for the well-being of us, we don't want to go into full 90-minute games, because it could turn into just training matches, like, you know, the middle-of-the-road games. Everton are playing Watford or something, and they're just strolling around because they literally don't have the energy. It's going to be weird.
That's an interesting point, isn't it? Because I was going to do it. It kind of melds into, I'll bring Ryan in. I wanted to talk about that, the Miguel Delaney, the World Cup-style camp thing. And you're right, I did the fitness thing into it massively, and I'd not actually considered that perspective. Those middle-of-the-road teams for whom it makes very little difference. I get it. Like, at the top end, the team's really going to be pressing for it. And at the bottom end, there's going to be teams pressing for wins. But you're right. Where's the motivation to get yourself up to speed? Where is the determination and all that kind of thing? You know, unless it just boils down to the money side. I don't think there's millions of difference between the placements, isn't there, in terms of where you finish. But if you're going to finish between 11th and, you know, 9th and 13th, say, yeah, you're still going to end up with a bunch of games where what's the fucking point? Why would Watford or Everton really give a shit, other than maybe on those two examples, as they're both looking to build something for next season, so they get to end on a high to say, we've got our new manager, we're going to have a new outlook, we're going to be starting fresh, and this is a little taster of it. But no, I think it's a very, very interesting. At least all teams are likely to be on a level playing field in some regards.
You're playing for everything you've already worked for as well. Yeah. I don't think you can take that out of it. You know, it might only be 10 games, but you've put a lot of work in to get to where you are. You know what I mean? You don't want to waste all of that effort, and you know how much work you've put in and how you've lived for the last 5 years to get to that position where you can play in the Premier League anyway. Yeah. I think, you know, clubs might have a little restructure of bonuses. That might be something that they do. They might, but ultimately, I don't think there's an issue with middle of the table teams personally trying to put their all in, because you could say that with 10 games to go of every season, and it always throws some mad results up.
The one thing that's weird, I just got the Premier League table up there, and you're looking at the European places are what, likely to be down to 6th or 7th, depending on what happens with the Man City stuff. I mean, let's just say 7th for the sake of argument. Sheffield United on 43 points. You go down to 11th, even like 12th, Everton 37 points. That seems like a pretty reasonable gap, you know, kind of 6 points or more. But 10 games all done in a really short space of time, there could be a real bonus to those teams going flat out for this time. You could, there's a number of teams who could absolutely out of nowhere, you're starting from zero. If you can get yourselves up to speed, if you can catch some teams cold, like, the environment might not suit certain football clubs. You know, that's, you know, Sheffield United not having a home advantage might be a massive disadvantage to them. It might suit certain teams playing a certain brand of footy. So, yeah, that's why I can I get people's take on this World Cup thing. I know, Ross, we talked about it briefly the other day, but putting aside, we'll do our normal caveat of putting aside the health implications, because we're not educated enough to be able to determine what the health risks are. I find this idea of like a month of 3 games of Premier League footy televised a day really, really exciting.
Well, firstly,
just on the last point, on the last subject, sorry, I think you've always got players playing for futures as well, whether that's to stay in at a club or they want transfers as well. So last 10 games of the season with the transfer window potentially upcoming, I think they'll be bang up for that. But on the football thing, yeah, I think if you take away the health and safety issue, which we've all said, you know, for the past 2, 3, 4 weeks, having football back in our lives is obviously massive for us because it's our job, but it's also, you know, what we like to watch, what we like to talk about. I think having that just for some sort of normality for people, even if it's behind closed doors, having a conversation with people, I think is huge. And, you know, not just for us lot, for people that, you know, their only source of interaction is football. Married that with like not taking football for granted. You know, we joked about it on the show yesterday. You know, I seen a few people say it, like, you know, Watford versus Burnley. Oh, I'm not watching that. I guarantee if it's on the fucking telly in a month's time. Like, yeah, I'm fucking all over that.
I think about the World Cups and the amount of times I've watched the Togos of this world play games in a World Cup because it was the footy that was on. Yeah, God, I think it's a way you either people will work out whether they actually like footy or not. Because if you really like footy, you're gonna watch every single minute of it.
Yeah, it's gonna be it will be interesting. I wonder if it'll have any implications in the future of people know that that's a possibility now. If that makes sense, like, okay, well, if we can figure this out, how to do a World Cup style but club football, can we make that a competition? Can we do that in a certain way and kind of restructure football? I don't think it's going to happen, but it's a really interesting kind of thing where you could say all of these changes that happen could have far-reaching implications in the future.
Well, that's what they're talking about for the Club World Cup, isn't it? It's going to be a similar sort of thing as a summer tournament. You know, all of a sudden that everyone's kind of, you know, not necessarily happy about it makes you think about it and what that would look like of having, you have 16 or 24 of the best football, you know, club football sides in the world in a short tournament. Go on, Chris, what's your take on it, mate?
Mate, I love it. I think it's the best idea anybody's ever had since football began. It's just brilliant, isn't it? I mean, football, all of it televised, shit going on free channels. We get to win the league. I mean, we already know we get to win the league. Spoilers, we get to win the league at the end of it, of course. Yeah. We're going to love it. What a brilliant and beautiful idea it is. It's fantastic. And
then, How many games do we need to win?
There's loads of games, isn't there?
One or two.
So, I mean, for Liverpool to win, do we just need two? We could theoretically win this within 2 days of this thing starting up again.
Starts on Monday and we've won it on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then we just get to enjoy, like a World Cup, like we don't have a team there, like we normally do, you know what I mean? Like, no, none of us support England. We just watch three games of footy a day and ignore the one where England play. That Man United will be the England for us. We'll ignore all of their games because they're in good form at the moment. And it's just brilliant. I can't wait for it, to be honest with you. But the big thing for me is they only get one shot at this. They have to wait so that no one gets sick. Because if one person gets sick during that tournament, that's the end of the season and we don't get to win the league.
Yeah. I mean, that's it, isn't it? I mean, what you want to be playing for is a situation where Liverpool win the first two games, it gets done, and then you just have the entire Liverpool squad all perfectly well spaced out in the stands with their league winners medal and the trophy, and just sit there watching with the feet up, watching every game live from the stands. I'd be paying for that. Be paying just to watch that happen. No, you're right, isn't it? I mean, look, we'll talk about it because I think it definitely warrants talking about because it's a big concern on everyone's minds. But the health issues are the big issues about this. And what me and Ross were saying yesterday, Chris, is you see, like Stan Collymore reacting to everyone saying, well, what about the paramedics? What about the NHS workers in the community? What about this? What about that? Whereas football fans, like, we're human beings, so we definitely need to care, and that definitely needs to be a consideration. It would be mental and stupid of them to do something that puts loads of people in harm's way. But as football fans, again, we're going to have to trust, you know, because there's so much tribalism tied up in this, of people's opinions of whether football should come back or not, that we're going to have to trust that someone somewhere has enough intelligence to think these things through.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, look, I think first and foremost, we're going to see what the NHS's capacity is over the next 3 weeks. And then probably 3 weeks later, we'll be in the situation where we are now, where they can cope. When the big hospitals, that Nightingale gets shut down and everything goes kind of back to normal, that's when we'll be able to do this stuff. And let's not forget here that these aren't extra people and it's not extra work to be done. These were already going to be done and fulfilled by St. John's ambulance workers, by doctors who already work at the football week in, week out, by police who are employed by the football clubs week in, week out. This isn't us taking away from the NHS. This is something that's always happened. Whereas now it's being made to sound like it's a new thing. Like, well, football will take doctors away. Hasn't happened in the past.
Yeah.
Doctors always work there. It needs to be thought about. It needs to be done at the right time so that the NHS can support it. Obviously, nobody needs to be able to get sick. Everybody's going to need to be quarantined in together. Doctors, cameramen, fucking stewards, whatever it is, they're all going to have to be quarantined together. That's the way that it is. And as long as the NHS can cope, then it will give and it will help the NHS because there will be less people put on it through mental problems and through other things that come off the back of what we're going through right now. Someone much cleverer than me is going to have to work that out, and probably a few people much cleverer than us.
Well, that's it. We saw it, Tom. They were saying that it was saying, well, what about the camera operators? What about this and that? And it's like, well, yeah. Duh. Obviously, that they're going to have to be considerations. I think it probably is a testament to how little we think of the FA and the Premier League that we think that they wouldn't think about this. But they're right, there's so many other mitigating circumstances. But, you know, I can't imagine there's going to be, it's not like people are going to be conscripted into this. You know what I mean? And there'll be, you know, the people who are working on it will probably be people who want to be working on it. You know, if you're working in production, the Premier League turn around to you, there'll be things like there'll probably be increased pay or there'll be hazard pay. These are all factors that will have probably been considered.
It's going to be a huge undertaking because you think if you're talking about housing all these people, so you're talking about the doctors and that kind of side of it, then you're speaking about everyone who works for the club because it's going to be a lot of people who work for the club. It's not just going to be players and manager. It's going to be the physios. It's going to be the cooks. It's going to be every single part that runs that club. Social media, I guess, could kind of run from a different building, I assume, and stuff, but that's going to be a massive part of it as well. I think you're going to have to have camps. You're going to have to have huge areas where you go, this is purely just set up for these people to stay here. That's the camp of these people, and then these people, and then these people, and then you've just kind of make sure that everyone's diligent with it all and make sure that they're smart about it. But it's even the thing for me is there's going to be people, and I know people aren't stupid and they will put the health first. But if Liverpool are playing football, there are going to be gatherings. If United or Chelsea or anyone plays football, I think there's going to be gatherings. I think there's going to be secret gatherings of fans getting together because that's what football is. It's sitting there with your mates. And I guess you can do that with Skype and you can all sit there and chat to each other via Skype. But I think...
Don't give the content ideas away, Tom. Come on.
Yeah. But I think a vast, not majority, I don't think that, a minority, before it's safe to do so, will be watching these games of football as a group with a few beers, because that's just what everyone wants to return to normalcy.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you're right, but I also think there's a question to be raised or a mindset to be thought about even, that in 12 weeks' time, we know how everyone knows how important this shit is.
Yeah.
You know, another 12 weeks of this, everybody understands that. And, you know, apart
so
from
it's
people...
important to the virus, not important to the footy.
Yeah, important to the virus, yeah. You know, and what we're doing is, and, you know, there'll be probably close to 20,000 deaths at that point.
Yeah.
And that's a fucking big number with a comma in it. You know what I mean? And big numbers have commas in them. And I think so. I don't think the mass gatherings thing will be as big a thing. I think you're probably right. There will be people who go and have a beer or whatever. I think you've got to worry about the people who live in terrace houses climbing through the fucking ceiling down to the mate's house six along or something. Because that's what I'd be doing if I lived in a terrace house, mate. I'd be fucking shooting down there and around in and all that type of stuff. But there's so much to consider, isn't there? I mean, you know, I think, you know, you're going to need the staff of Melwood, and that's about it.
Yeah.
You know, the football club itself doesn't need to be there. You know, Peter Moore doesn't need to be there with all of his staff. It's Melwood, it's the cooks and the cleaners, and that's it. And there's loads of empty hotels in England at the moment. You just need to find a load of empty hotels that are fairly close and regular.
And when you consider it, I mean, when you were saying it, Tom, and that's why I think using this the World Cup analogy works. It's basically what happens for World Cups anyway. Now, of course, everyone isn't quarantined, so it is slightly different. So it is a bit more like, you know, kept going. But you think about, like, let's use Olympics or Commonwealth Games and what have you. You've got, like, your athletes' village, haven't you? Now, there would be slightly less of that because obviously all of the athletes kind of mingle together or whatever. But
you could still do that, though, Paul.
Yeah, exactly. As long as everyone's
you're going to need 2 weeks. You're going to need 2 weeks minimum before you can set those places up.
Yeah,
that's the issue, and the testing needs to be better, and they need to have the antibodies test to see that people have had it, and I think that, you know, that's a massive part of it. But the other thing that's sort of all linked into that is people talk about the doctors and the nurses and everyone else that's going to have to work there. It will be the Premier League only, you know. So when you consider there's police at every single stadium up and down this country on a Saturday, half the stadiums in the country, I should say. Uh-huh. How many is that? There's 92 teams, there's 45 games roughly going on, plus all the non-leagues and all that. We're talking about a couple of games in probably the same place.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have a game, then you'd have another game, then you'd have another game, and that'd be the camera crew. One crew would probably do three games if they're smart.
Yeah.
You know, and that would be the doctors and the nurses as well. The amount of staff that you need is probably less than you think to be able to run those three games back to back.
I was just thinking then,
nowhere near as many as you need to produce the Championship, plus League One, League Two, and the Prem.
Well, that's what I was going to say, we're only talking about one league, aren't we? And there are many more leagues that need to be finished. I wonder what the plans are for them, because yes, the Premier League, first and foremost, is the big one, but you've got to finish all these other ones. I think if you set precedent by finishing the Premier League, you've got to. You just have to finish the rest of the football pyramid in England, and it's the biggest one. It's going to be so tough.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
Like one at a time.
Yeah, maybe that's the thing. But like I said, the World Cup style thing, I think once you get it and you get that on lockdown, on its own version of lockdown, for the footballers and for the staff, it is no different to the kind of World Cup thing. You think about all the England players ever really got to do. Once they had the crackdown, when they got rid of, like, the, you know, the wives and girlfriends thing where they were all going out partying or whatever in between games, you know, all they effectively do is go for a walk and go for a bike ride round a particular area of where it is. Again, you would extend that out to the production staff and all the ancillary sort of people. They can't go home in between. But I think it's interesting, as I say, just to kind of wrap up on it. I think there's tons and tons of factors that need to be considered. But for me, as a fan of football, the idea of having some football and that, and then finding a way to do it, and doing that is like a fantasy scenario. It's mad, you know, like a mad, dreamt up world where you get to watch that much footy, good footy as well, in a short space of time, made up with that. Leave us your thoughts on that if you want, if in the comments on YouTube. And yeah, don't forget, if you're listening on the podcast, to give us a 5-star rating. We're going to move on to some of the more light-hearted stuff. We're going to be producing each week what we're calling the Red Men Sanity Playlist. On Spotify, this will be, if anyone wants to create it for us on things like iTunes or whatever, then they're more than welcome to. But yeah, we're going to be putting in 3 songs each from the members of the Red Men TV cast and crew each week, creating a new playlist for you to get your ears around. We tried that in the... You mean the bit where it says 3 in massive capital letters? Brilliant. We did this on the old school original Red Men podcast, but we created it as an ongoing playlist, and it was fucking horrendous because... It was terrible.
I screwed that up, didn't I?
Yeah.
You put an album in every week.
Yeah, the Kings of Long Arms. Brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant. So yeah, we're going to be just doing it like, so what it'll be, it's 5 or 15 songs a week. You can have a little listen through and see what we've come up with. So we've all put 3 on, but I'm going to ask you to talk about one in particular and why you've put it in there. The one that, we'll start with Tom. Who have you got?
Well, I've got a song. It's from the playlist of Narcos. It's called Tobacco Iran by Rodolfo Isu Tibica at A7. I didn't realise it is on Spotify, definitely. And the reason I picked it is because obviously loads of people have are bored in their house, and a lot of people have come to like start cleaning random bits of the house or things or like tidying up. It is the perfect song. If you go onto that and then song radio, it's just a Spanish upbeat song, and there's nothing better for me. If you're cleaning stuff, turn on a Spanish like flamenco playlist and just listen to it, because it makes it pass so much faster. I literally cleaned loads of rusty tools the other day. It took me 2 hours and I just had Spanish music on the other day. It took me 2 days as well of like soaking them in vinegar and that. It was great. But that's literally what I've been doing in my time. And that song, fantastic. That whole playlist, if you go to Song Radio, is amazing.
Okay, fantastic. Go on, Ross, what have you got?
So the first one I picked is Morrissey, Every Day Feels Like Sunday, because it fucking does at the minute. It came on with playlist before. It's a bit miserable, but it's just so true at the minute. I thought it was quite funny. The second one, I've changed about 3 times, but I've gone with Barry White, Let the Music Play. I've rediscovered Barry White, The Walrus of Love, whilst I've been in isolation.
Have you been romancing yourself in the bath with some Barry White?
Yeah, just me and my thoughts and Barry White in isolation. That's all I need. And the final one was The House Martins, Happy Hour. It's just an upbeat, cheerful song, which also we just rediscovered. And I thought, yeah, it's worth blasting it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think at the moment I've noticed I've had the radio on a lot more lately, an absolute 90s, and I think they're deliberately playing more upbeat songs just to stop people from topping themselves at home. Chris, what have you gone for?
Mine was pretty much down the same route as Ross, to be honest with you. So I've gone with Lennon, Isolation, and Offspring, Come Out and Play, because we can't. And finally, Misery Loves Company by Shotty Horror.
This is going to be the playlist ever. It's going to go from Spanish music to absolute depressing stuff.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, fantastic.
My 3 songs are listened to in order. Yeah, start off with Isolation, second Come Out and Play, and third is Misery Loves Company.
Fantastic. You have a good happy dream for a bit and then realise it's nonsense, it's all a dream and it can't be a reality, so be miserable. Sorry Tom, did we actually get all your 3 there? Did I quickly pass the first one?
I mean, no, it was each guest brings 3 songs and only one's explained. That's why I think I did it right. But the other two is Mr. White by Karangbin. I'm not sure how to pronounce that, but it's like a slow one. It's quite nice just to reflect on your thoughts and that. And then Rotterdam Or Anywhere.
Sounds like it's a song for sad wanking, Tom. You've described it like a sad wanking song.
Yeah, if you're all walks in the park, I guess you could do that as well.
As long as you're not doing both at the same time, that's fine.
Yeah, and then the other one's Rotterdam Or Anywhere, The Beautiful South, purely because that riff's amazing. Just replay that over again. Them two are more like relaxing ones where you just sat in and you're just staring out the window wishing that you could step outside.
Do you reckon you could get away with saying that was your one bout of daily exercise? You know, it's technically exercise. If you just go there and lie down and get it over with, like it's probably as energetic as a bike ride. I've gone with Wanna Be Starting Something by Michael Jackson off Thriller, which if we can put aside the fact that he's obviously a massive nonce and a dead one at that.
Can we put a poll in the top? Do you think Michael Jackson is a nonce, yes or no?
Please don't. We don't need that in the algorithm. Thriller is a boss upbeat album. Hand in My Pocket by Alanis Morissette, and the one that I want to recommend is Salute Your Solution by the Raconteurs, because we were watching Zombieland just before I got poorly, and
It's you got poorly, did you, mate?
Yeah, I got a bit poorly, mate.
Yeah, you're going to have a fall next week.
If anyone wants to know how I'm getting on,
don't
please
you
be sure.
Fucking say it.
Anyway, yeah, so yeah, we were watching that, and we watched both the Zombieland movies prior to going into lockdown, and I stumbled upon that song, and it's a proper get you up, get you moving in the limited space that we're all allowed to move around. So yeah, highly recommend Salute Your Solution by the Raconteurs. We're gonna play the schoolyard game, which I'm going to hold my hands up and say that I thoroughly robbed this idea from another Liverpool podcast that used to do this many years ago. But they don't do it anymore, I don't think. So we're going to do it now because it's good fun. It's going to be Chris versus Tom. It is head-to-head schoolyard rules. Each person takes a turn to pick a player until both have got 11 players in their team. And then they're going to have to explain why they think that their team would win, and then you, the audience, are going to get a vote on that. We're going to use the current Liverpool squad. Ross, have you got a pen to hand? Of course. Do you do me a favour and write these teams down as we go? Right, I haven't got anyone got a coin? No, I don't trust you. I've got a memory card rather than a coin. So
I've got a
badge.
Ross can be Ross can be the official coin adjudicator. What's that say?
That's my member.
Fantastic. Ross, would you be so kind as to flip it? Youngest can call it. So Tom.
Heads.
Do you want to start or go second?
I'll start, yeah.
Okay, so your first pick is
Virgil van Dijk.
Virgil Trent. Van Dijk, Tom.
Oh, you pick Trent.
Oh yeah.
Gomez.
Okay. Chris?
Rabo.
Alisson.
Ooh, well done, Tom.
Salah.
Hendo.
Mane.
Firmino.
Hang on, fucking hell.
Bobby Firmino.
Fabinho.
Fab.
Milner.
Where are you playing in midfield or left back?
Left back.
Chris?
There's
no way you've not got
Genie. I've not done this. I've not even looked at the questions.
Ox, and I'm playing him on the left.
Okay.
Keita.
Chris has never been this unprepared for one of these kind of games. What is going on?
Salah, did you pick Salah?
Yeah.
Oh, you've already got him. Fuck. This is hard.
Seven players each so far.
I'm gonna say Lallana.
In midfield.
Right mid, yeah.
Divock.
I'll have Minamino.
Nice. I'd forgotten he existed. Lovren.
Let's get into that part of the game.
Hoover, right back.
Matip.
Okay.
And I'll have Elliot.
Adrian. Thanks, I win. Next.
Okay, yeah. So talk the teams out.
Adrian in goal, Trent right back, Matip, Lovren, Robertson, Fabinho, Keita, Genie Wijnaldum, Mane, Salah, Divock. Yeah, I win. Hold you. Next, move on.
Hold on. And there for Tom's team.
Alisson in goal, right back, Waver, Hoover.
Not call him Waver.
Gomez, Van Dijk, Milner. Hendo, Lallana, Minamino, Elliot, Firmino, Ox. I think my defence is fucking solid, mate.
It is the ultimate one of defence versus attack. Chris, how is your team going to win this game?
Well, I've got Salah and Mane. He's got about 10 goals in his side there. So I'm not going to need my defence. And I've also got Trent Alexander-Arnold and Robertson, so he's got no creativity in his side. I've got all the attackers, all the creativity, and a better midfield. I mean, it's pretty obvious. I'm going to absolutely stuff him.
Chris, okay. The creativity thing's bollocks, because every time anyone brings up creativity, the team just goes, nah, that's not true.
But they've got Mane and Salah to score the goals.
Explain how your team's going to win. Tom is going to explain his team.
It's not even close.
We start defence first. Defence first wins us games. It's why we're top of the league, Chris. That's why. Teams have come up against us with Salah and Mane type players, and we've just gone, nah, you're not even scoring. Literally, our defence is solid. You got Hendo in there doing the dirty work around the midfield. Fabinho's been shit recently. He's fucking terrible. He's not even the best player in the team anymore. Then Lallana and Minamino. Lallana is fantastic. Minamino is going to be fantastic. And then you've got
Kiana Hoover, James Milner, Harvey Elliott, Minamino.
Yeah.
They haven't even got 20 appearances this season between them.
Yeah, because you left me with them. What do you want me to say?
You went first pick, Tom.
Yeah, and I got my defence sorted, so you're not going to score. Hoover and Milner, the sound on the wings, I swear to you. Literally, yeah, it's fine. Hoover's fantastic with Gomez alongside him. Van Dijk's just going to sort it all out. Who's your defence partnership, Chris?
Matip and Lovren.
Well, there you go. So I'm going to win, am I? Yeah, yeah. Because your defence is shocking.
We've played this type of game before, haven't we? So you take the positions that he can't get backups in, so that's why I took the fullbacks, because he's fucked as soon as I take them. There's only four centre halves, and there's not that much difference between three of them.
Are you messing?
Yeah.
Gomez is well better than the other two. Well better.
I don't think there's that much difference between Matip, Gomez and Lovren, to be honest with you.
I love it when Chris gets dead serious on this. Adopts this tone of, oh, you stupid. Tom, I don't think this. It's like talking on Twitter. Look, I'm not gonna create an overall adjudication on this. I'm gonna leave the audience to vote, but I would point out the obvious glaring hole, and I'm not sure, Chris, whether our listening and watching audience are gonna be totally behind your goalkeeper in this situation, given the current climate.
Is he injured?
Or even considered. But you have obviously got the firepower. So it's firepower versus defence.
It's a Premier League winning side versus a ragtag bunch of toe rags.
Chris, who are our main players in the team? It's our spine of Alisson. It's the spine. It's the reason why we're so good.
Trent Alexander-Arnold and Andy Robertson.
My spine is literally Alisson, Van Dijk, Hendo, Firmino. What's yours?
Mine doesn't go down the centre.
Yeah, so it's not a spine.
It goes down the right side. Mine's an exoskeleton, Tom. So that's Trent and Robertson, Mane and Salah with a little bit of Fabinho in the middle.
Right, okay. Leave it to you, the audience. We will put a poll on the YouTube as well so you can vote, but let us know your thoughts, and if you want to do, spell out how you think the game would go in the comments underneath. You can leave it in the review if you want a review on the podcast app, or you can tweet us at the Red Men TV. Do tag in Black Tom and Mr. Blood Red as well. In fact, Ross,
you went Elliot over Shaqiri.
Yeah.
Talk about forgetting people existed.
Remembered them. I've got the squad in front of me, and I went, Elliot.
You've got the squad in front of you as well.
Yeah, 100%.
You could have had Curtis Jones instead of Minamino as well.
Yeah, but no. Minamino.
Yeah. No, brilliant. Okay, and if there's any glaring omissions from the squad that they've missed as well, let us know in capital letters, please. If you can engage caps lock and like you're shouting at them, because I'm sure there's loads of people who would listen to this, whatever they're doing on the bog or in their commutes to work, when you're really just driving around pretending you're going somewhere legitimate just to get out the house, which we don't condone, by the way. But yeah, let us know in the comments. Right, we're going to get to a couple of your viewer questions before we move on to our subscriber exclusive Q&A show on the website. First one comes from Ron Yates' Boots. 14 days in isolation. Options are the following. Number one, in a Paraguayan jail cell with Ronaldinho. Two, on a boat with Boris Johnson. Three, in a tree hut with Sergio Ramos. Four, in a room full of mirrors with Cristiano Ronaldo. Five, in a boxing ring with Jamie Carragher. Or mud wrestling with Genev.
This is what you've got to do, what you want to do.
Your options for your 14 days in isolation are one of the six.
Prison with Ronaldinho is looking pretty good to me, to be fair.
Ross, you're literally, you're going to get shanked. As soon as you walk in there, you're going to get stabbed. And they're going to rob all your money.
And they'll use your own glasses to shank you with.
I might enjoy it.
Says shank.
No, I said shank, mate.
I might enjoy it.
So, Tom, what are you going for?
It's hard because can I throw Boris Johnson off the boat without touching him because he'd have coronavirus? Like, I was going to pick that because I could ignore him, but he does have coronavirus and we would be on a boat. And he'd eat all the food because I know what he's like. And then
like
three...
Score poll, by the way, actually. How many people... Hands up if you think Boris Johnson actually had coronavirus. For the podcast listeners at home? Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's cool. Either that or 5G.
Got over that remotely. He got over that very quickly, I thought. Anyway.
5G.
Yes, 5G. Oh my God. Tom, are you going with Boris Johnson on a boat?
No, number three is the actual one. There's an obvious language barrier there, but I feel like we could get along.
Tree hut with Sergio Ramos.
Yeah, I think so. I can't do the Boris Johnson one.
Okay, cool.
And you Chris? Voted for this lad's team when he'd rather go and sit in a tee up with Sergio Ramos than go and spend 14 days in a boxing ring with Carragher.
And didn't mention that you could have pushed Sergio Ramos out of the tree hut and actually won it.
First of all, he couldn't push Sergio Ramos out of the tee hut. None of us could here. Four of us together may have a chance of pushing said Ramos out of the tree hut. I think the only right answer is the Paraguayan prison cell or the prison, because it's the only place you guarantee food.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you don't have to fight Jamie Carragher for 14 weeks. I'm not sure either of you could. You'd burn your energy really quickly, but there's no food in a boxing ring. Mm. So that's a silly idea. And if you go through each of them, so I've just pulled it up there. On a boat, well, I mean, A, it's going to be a small boat, so you can't, like, you're not having a lot. You could go fishing.
Why is it
like,
small? Why is it small?
Unless it's his boat.
I was going to say, yeah, it's his boat, obviously. I don't have a boat.
In a tea hut, well, there's only nuts up there, isn't there? If you're lucky. A room full of mirrors, there's no food in there. You just and then it's a straight fight between you eating Ronaldo or he's eating you. You're losing that match. And mud wrestling with Ginev, A, I don't want to be in the vicinity of him. B, there's no food, and you are actually having to mud wrestle him for 14 days, so I don't want to do that.
It's an interesting point. Personally, I'm going in a room full of mirrors with Cristiano Ronaldo because I would be able to sustain myself just looking at myself. But that's and let's be honest, with all things being told, if you had to look at another human being, Cristiano Ronaldo, as much as his face makes you want to punch him, he's a very attractive man, isn't he? He's as close to, you know, you could do a lot worse than imagine having to look at Gary Neville for 14 days.
Is he symmetrical, do you think, Ronaldo? You'd know after 14 days, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Right, Sal. One last question before we cut off for this. Jonathan Cook says, what are your opinions on Harry Kane? 30 seconds each. Chris Bajach, go.
Big fat tongue, can't really speak, selfish cunt. Probably doesn't finish his misses off. And that's it.
Takes credit for it at the end.
Yeah, she has to finish herself off when he claims it was because he bought her the vibrator. Fantastic. Tom?
I actually don't mind him too much. Quality finish, yeah. I wouldn't have him anywhere near Liverpool because he doesn't do enough and Spurs look better without him. I guess I've just got to add onto everything that Chris says, all of that, yeah.
Okay.
I have no opinion towards him at all. I don't care about him.
Quality. Ross?
Everything that Chris said, plus, you know, selfish, injury prone, would immediately ruin the cohesion at Liverpool Football Club by being that selfish prick that he is. The team spirit, he's not even Spurs' best player. He's probably the second or third best player. And yeah, he's just what Chris said. He can't be.
Was that a football question? Have I misread that?
I think Jonathan's
got things at Liverpool, didn't he?
Right. Yeah.
And he's also probably been spared into this by Harry Kane was talking to Harry Redknapp. Yeah, was talking to Harry Redknapp, and he was the one who said about the season being voided as well. From my perspective on Kane, I think he's tremendous, isn't he? But it is funny that I have no love for him in any way, shape or form. He does nothing that makes me endear him. If he played for Liverpool and he'd come to the Liverpool ranks, I probably would love him. But I like the idea that Harry Kane wants the season voided, but hasn't considered that, like, that he might lose all of his goals. And I have a strong suspicion if you told Harry Kane that he's lost the season of his life and all the goals off his record, he would change his tune very fucking quickly. The absolute idiot. Right, okay, we've got some more questions that we're going to be answering. We've got a subscriber exclusive Q&A, which is a continuation of this podcast. It's on the redmentv.com. Head over there and sign up. You can get it in podcast form and in video form as well. Some of the questions are, if you could choose a body part that you could detach whenever you wanted, which would it be?
I can already do that. Only kidding.
You can only eat one.
I was saving that for the subscribers who pay for this shit, lads.
You can do better. You can only eat one type of biscuit for the rest of your life. Which do you pick? What is your go-to beer shot cocktail? Who would win in a real-life football match between Liverpool and France? Players you hate that have given you absolutely no reason to hate them. And a Premier League 11, but players can't play in their own area. Right. Okay, listen, thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. It's been our absolute pleasure bringing the Red Men podcast back to you. Do go and leave reviews on native podcasting apps as well to help us get right back up the charts. 5 stars and a review as well. Just type blah, whatever you want to type underneath, please feel free to. But gents, thank you very much for joining me. And do come and join us over on theredmentv.com. It is just £5 a month. It helps fund what we're doing on YouTube and beyond as well. So if you want to support us through this period, you can do by signing up to the website and we will get that Q&A and the exclusive podcast that Chris has done with Jose Enrique and with Roger Bennett and a whole host more as well. We'll see you there. Ta-ra.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.